This is the recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on December 14th, 2017. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Move item 3, assessment of commission action on enforcement matters. Really, all I'm interested in is asking for the data that we compiled periodically out of our office be provided quarterly through the Office of General Counsel, and the part that goes public is redacted in accordance with the recommendations of Larry Calvert, and those are... First of all, the date of the filing of the complaint, there's only three when I talked to Calvert. All of the material that's requested in the clarification of agenda document, except that for the ones that go public, there'll be no inclusion, will be properly drafted according to the recommendation of Larry Calvert. Maybe you want to run through which ones those are. Or do you want me to read off?
I think you could lead off, as it's your motion, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Well, it would be the matter, the date of the filing of the complaint. Of course, the name of the requester. All dates that the matter is requested to be held over. I think, what was your recommendation on that?
I think that what we would intend to do, if your proposal passes, Mr. Chairman, is that if I understand the proposal correctly, the information that has been in the charts that have accompanied your motion to motions over the last couple of years to set enforcement priorities, that we would produce those charts and include them in the Enforcement Division's quarterly reports, and then that information which we have advised you could be made public in the versions of your charts that have been put on blue would periodically be made public
each quarter.
It's my understanding that absent direction from the commission, we would not be making public any information that has not already been made public in connection with these charts.
That's exactly right. In other words, you've pointed out the number of areas where you felt that the they should also be redacted or just not included, and that's certainly what I fully agree with. And as part of my motion, I don't know how we want to phrase that, but that's exactly what the content and structure and to say the items, you know, that have been redacted from the enforcement version provided to the commission would continue, something along that line.
Right. As I understand it, the language of the motion technically, it calls on us to make appropriate redactions, and I guess I would say to the commission our intention is not to do anything differently than we've already been doing.
All right, thank you. Would it be possible to have a motion on that? Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move approval of your proposal as summarized in agenda document number 17-53-A. I'd like to add one potential request. If we could add an additional column to allow for people to provide notes about the MERS, and in particular, I'm thinking at times when certain things are holdover, for example, for reasons like litigation or different reasons like that. Obviously, that stuff is probably going to be redacted, but it gives people an opportunity to provide a little bit of context for the reason for the hold. Other than that, would be my motion. Hopefully, it's a friendly amendment. I move approval of the document with that amendment.
The only concern I have is that it may be more complex than you think, rather than just put it in a square. And that's concerning to me to some degree, whether or not. And that, you know, the reasons could vary. Or I'm not too sure. People might draw us questions. Well, you know, what litigation are you waiting for? And
okay.
I don't know. I'm concerned about that.
If you don't want to add it, I'll just write my own notes on there. It's fine.
Well,
I can approve it without.
You're the upcoming chair because I think you get the votes.
Mr. Chairman and Madam Vice Chair, I believe the motion. Madam Vice Chair, I believe you moved 17-53-A. I think the operative document containing the motion to amend Directive 68 is 17-53-B.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
And what does it say?
I just had the wrong. I said A instead of B.
Oh.
So thank you for that correction. I move approval of agenda document.
I'm not sure I have 17-53-B in front of me.
17-53-B?
B as in beta.
I don't think I have that. I've been looking at the wrong one. Excuse me.
I see what you did. Is there any motion, any further discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. I'm sorry, what was the motion?
Just a motion to support
to approve the
adoption of this.
I abstain.
Excuse me.
Without the amendment, right?
I was going to say, for the record, was that with or without the friendly amendment?
It's without.
It's without.
Without.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. One abstention. Commissioner Weintraub and I, Vice Chair.
Which?
Excuse me.
I voted aye on one. I think Commissioner Goodman had just one question. I don't know if that was considered a binding vote. I think he's probably on board.
Who had unbinded?
But I think he had a question, and so just I think he.
I had a couple of questions before I voted.
But pardon me, sure, go ahead.
My vote's recorded as an abstention. I didn't have time.
No. Let's get some questions answered.
Well, Madam Secretary, what's the status of that vote?
My understanding is that the vote was called. Mr. Calvert?
That would be my understanding as well. If the commission, the chair... I'd ask the secretary if she heard the chair announce the vote.
He did.
The vote has been called.
Okay. Well, I would be glad to move to. I'd be glad to move to unwind that if you like.
I move to reconsider.
We can move to reconsider. All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Okay. Mr. Goodman, sorry about that.
The information that'll be on this chart goes into the status reports to the commission. Am I right?
That's my understanding.
And does that become a public document?
It would under this proposal with appropriate redactions. Of the new information that's coming from Commissioner Walther's charts, as I said, it would be our intention to redact anything that we're not already making public with respect to those charts. And I guess as to the rest of the status of enforcement report, we would redact anything except those pieces of statistical information that we are already making public under the public disclosure policy the commission adopted last summer.
May I continue, Mr.?
Of course, please do.
The chart that I am looking at called Relevant Dates for Initial Substantive Recommendations.
I'm sorry, the...
That's in document 17-53A. Is that what is contemplated in the language in the amendments to Directive 68?
I believe so. It's the chairman's motion.
Well, then I'll direct my question to the chairman. Mr. Chairman, this information that would presumptively be made public subject to redaction, I understood Mr. Counsel to say appropriate redactions. So I guess I want to understand the scope of that. For example, your chart, if what is contemplated is the chart that you've attached on 17-53A, I read the language to go a little bit beyond that data. I just want to understand what's contemplated and intended.
I'm just looking for the data that... I think I've produced five of them so far, and they've all been the same format,
well,
same format.
Let me highlight that's the one that I'm concerned might about. Be of more pointed concern. I see on your chart that is a part of document A, I don't see the date that the complaint was filed with the FEC.
That's correct.
But in directive number 68, on page 2, we would say the date of receipt of a complaint.
I might be able to clarify on that. As you probably recall, Commissioner, the chairman has circulated both an internal and a public version of these charts when he has made his motions over the last couple of years. The material, my understanding is that the material that would be presented to the commission in the quarterly status of enforcement report would be the material that has heretofore been in the non-public version of the commissioner's motions, and that we would then redact the information that does not appear in the public version of these charts, leaving the same information that does appear in the public version of these charts.
Okay, so the document that comes to the commission would show the date of the receipt of the complaint. The document that goes that is made public from that would redact that date.
Correct.
The reason I'm concerned about it is people can identify.
That's why it's being redacted.
From the date that they know that a press release, for example, was issued saying we filed a complaint against XYZ committee on this date, then people can follow the commission's proceedings.
Yeah, and that's been adapted for that reason.
That is why we have advised Commissioner Walther in his prior iterations of this that information cannot be made public.
That's helpful clarification. The other I have is... in the same list of information that will be included, that says all dates that a matter was requested to be held over. That is mentioned in the passive voice, was requested to be held over. I see on the chart of A that the asterisk that qualifies that information. Did I see this? Bear with me. Now I'm looking at two different documents now, but it also is part of A, there is an asterisk. And it says currently subject to an informal hold request by one or more commissioners. Is that intended to be reflected on either the report we receive from OGC or made public?
I would defer to the chairman on that,
okay,
given that it's his motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to understand the...
The same data that we've always had. I was looking for the asterisk.
Is it intended, contemplated, that the under Section 2, little I, I think H-I, that asterisk...
The informal hold is somebody holding it back, which I don't think is a good policy, but it's holding it back for some reason, but it's not made public because it didn't come to the commission, and usually, you know, at that point, somebody may hold this over and go, yeah, sure. And then on this case, but of concern to me has been what I consider to be these holds where nobody knows, and there's no formal decision on the fact that things are being held, and that's a concern to me.
Well, so it is contemplated that there will be an asterisk to matters held over,
right?
And there will be some explanation assigned to that asterisk.
Well, really, it just the way it's been is it just points out that it's not a formal, it hasn't been formally held over, so that the public can be aware that they're being held over, but it hasn't reached a decision by the commission yet. That was my concern.
The language proposed is all dates that a matter was requested to be held over. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
My question is, what's contemplated by that? Because the asterisk that is reflected in your earlier documents is currently subject to an informal hold request by one or more commissioners. We have held matters over for numerous reasons. We've had formal votes holding them over. The last time we've done that, I have formally explained my rationale for voting to abstain in a matter, and I have committed that to writing. I don't know if that's formal or informal. We held a vote. There are informal holds where commissioners request more time. Then there have been votes of abstention. Commissioner, we had one at the end of 2015. That was a 4-1 or 2 vote, I believe. And then there are many matters where the Office of General Counsel has submitted it up, and then the Office of General Counsel says they need more time. I'm just saying, I just want to be sure. I don't understand what is intended by the language in the sample template that says currently subject to an informal hold request by one or more commissioners. Now, I don't mind the report saying that the matter showing, for example, that it was held over at these meetings. I guess I just don't want a misleading caption that every time you see an asterisk, it's a hold by one or more commissioners. And I don't know what the definition of informal versus formal would be. And so I guess we just need to
maybe
understand what's contemplated by 2I.
Maybe for me, the formal hold is when it reaches a meeting, I guess, under the tally vote, or any action that's formal in the sense that we'd like to hold off. You know, we get to the meeting and say, I need to think more about that, and finally it's being held over. But it's known publicly that it's been held over because
at
a meeting.
That.
There's been a formal action. Here is if somebody, and it's happened in the past, says, you know, I'd like to have you hold that over, and it kind of, nobody knows about it, but it kind of gets held over.
I understand the purpose of disclosing that
the
matter
concern
has appeared before the commission at
right
prior meetings.
Right.
I'm not disputing that.
Right.
I guess I'm...
So
I read the language, the amended language of number 68, not to provide any asterisk and not to provide any reason why a matter was held, because that's not in directive number 68.
I guess the point is if there's being... If something's ready to go and it's being held over and it's not been done at a commission level, that people get to find out that something's being held over. You know,
I understand that it's going to be a column on the chart.
Yeah.
Okay. I want...
What would you suggest?
Let me ask the Office of General Counsel. Do you read the change language in Section 2B2I... to incorporate any reasoning for the hold and or assignment of who in the building needs more time with it?
I did not read the language to include rationales or assignment as to who. I did read J right underneath that as contemplating assignment as to who, and I had advised the chairman's office that we would likely redact that information unless the commission, if that information was going to be made public, we would appreciate very clear guidance from the commission on that. And I think that we would appreciate some clear guidance on the questions you've raised on I as well.
Mr. Chairman, I think the information is fair. I've been prepared to own any holds that I've made, and I'm prepared to continue to do that. I've done it. I've committed it to writing in the minutes of the meetings and on two occasions. Mm-hmm. But I think that you should be aware that your proposal is going to still leave some need for clarification for the Office of General Counsel and the Commission. And there are many people who may be the requesters of a hold. It could be the Office of General Counsel.
Well, that's part of my concern, is that sometimes it's been held that way. And I just think if it's ready to go and it's been held without commission action, then I think that's important to be aware of. But I am aware that there's been times in the past where the Office of General Counsel has held things over, or maybe one of the commissioners have asked to say, well, we don't want to, can you hold that off for a while? I want to discourage that practice, but at least make it known that that's what's happening to the case.
That's what's happening to the case.
Yeah, it's happening to the case.
Okay. Yeah. Let me ask Office General Counsel, reading it now, would you contemplate redacting the names of the requesters if it's Office of General Counsel that's requested to hold it over?
I have to say that I had not considered the question in light of anything other than commissioners. That had been our determination in terms of commissioners.
It would be redacted in that case?
Yes, absent contrary direction from the commission.
And how about if it's a vote of the commission? In other words, one commissioner moves to proceed, and there's a vote of the commission to take more time with it. We've had that in a couple of instances.
I'd want to give that some thought. My initial reaction is that that is a reflection of the deliberative process of the commission while the case is still ongoing. So my initial reaction is to be inclined not to include that, but I'd want to give it some more thought.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Fair enough.
Thank you, Mr. Cowell.
Sure thing. Oh, there's a typo. In the word third line from the bottom, that says, be aware of, are you tracking with me? And it says, the number of days between the date of receipt of the complaint or referral and commission action should be inaction, calculated at the close of the quarter.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Which document are you on?
This is on paragraph 3, page 2 of the blue copy.
The red line.
The red line.
Not this one.
Instead of the word action, it's inaction.
Oh, so this would change it to inaction.
Right.
I'm with you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sounds good.
I think that one thing that I might want to add here, in terms of what kind of direction you give us on I and J, not just about what is made public and what's not, but just on the nature of the data to begin with. There are some calls here about what to include and what not to include that we don't have to currently make, that the chairman has put in his charts. And in terms of what to include about who is holding something over and why, even if that information is not released publicly, attributing it to a commissioner might be, or to somebody that's not OGC. Mm-hmm. Some cases we'll know, some cases we might not know. And so we're going to need some clear direction from you guys as to just what data you want, separate and apart from what part of that data is made public.
Mm-hmm. I presume you'll bring some templates and some samples to the commission for further review.
Well, you'll get to see the first one, I suppose, if this motion passes, and tell
Chairman,
us what you want, what you don't.
Thank you, Larry. I'm prepared to support this. I don't know that enforcement bodies normally tell the public where they stand on each case, but if this is a fair transparency. However, I must say that the more we start revealing, then the more possibility there's going to be that commissioners have to defend their proceedings publicly. Whenever I've held something, I've put it in writing for about 2 years. If some of those statements have to go public without revealing the names of respondents, and that may be a result of that. It may be the transparency that this drives, and that may be a good thing. But I do see one consequence of this being that commissioners may start to talk more publicly about the proceedings here in generic terms.
Well, I guess that's possible. I admire your diligence in keeping track of your holdovers for 2 years. That's pretty diligent of you there. So, but I can't say what the reaction is going to be. I think people want to look at it. They're going to try and understand how we're doing here, which I think is part of the idea, is to just be open and be able to disclose what the public's entitled to know if unless it's somehow this needs to be redacted. So
I'm prepared to vote for the document.
Well, we have
Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to move the document. I'd like to go back, though, to instead of calling it a separate column for a note, on item J that we've just been talking about, the names of requester or requestors and any pertinent information. Because part of what Commissioner Goodman was talking about encapsulates what I was trying to articulate earlier, which is there are times where there's a very good reason for holding some things over, and I think allowing the commissioner whose name now is going to be put in the document to give a short reason. We could even come up with a key or something of, OGC held it over, or commissioners needed more time, or they were holding it for pending litigation. Or sometimes commissioners put a lot of matters on an agenda where it's just literally impossible to be prepared for all of them. And so sometimes there are unusual circumstances. I don't anticipate that happening next year, but it's happened before. And so I think if you'd be willing to add as a friendly amendment the name of the requester and any pertinent information.
Bear in mind that the name of the requester does not go public.
I know. And the pertinent information probably wouldn't either. It may or may not. I don't know.
I think that's a friendly, constructive.
This is just the private information, so it's fine to me.
Okay, thank you.
When we debated how we proceed previously, I proposed a directive at that time that would have required commissioners to explain their rationale, and I've been prepared to do
that. I would vote for that if you want to bring it up again. I don't think they reached a vote, did it? It was probably snagged with some of the other provisions that were in it.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Weintraub.
I just want to remind you that the proposal that Commissioner Goodman is referring to basically said that any commissioner could hold up any matter indefinitely. So that's why you and I did not vote for it in the first go-round.
Well, thanks for the addition. Yeah,
Actually, I believe I said two or more commissioners. Two or more, and had to explain their reasonings to, in part to be accountable, in part to avoid an arbitrary and capricious claim, but to be accountable in writing for such a hold, it would take two or more commissioners.
That's for another day, I guess. Madam Vice Chair.
I move approval. Are we ready for a motion?
I have one further question.
So, Commissioner Weintraub.
Mr. Calvert, we're talking about creating a document that would have certain information redacted, but would it be subject to a FOIA request, either during the pendency of the matters or after they were completed?
Could be subject to a FOIA request. I would imagine that there would not be a whole lot of difference between what we would redact as a matter of privilege or commission policy and what would be provided under FOIA. But, again, we haven't, sat down with one and gamed that out. It's a good question. I don't think there would be any daylight there, but there could be.
Just one more point. So Commissioner Conser's amendment, any characterization of the basis for the holdover, OGC would not second-guess question or do any, it would be the reason provided by the commissioner, if so provided. But I don't want OGC in the business of trying to characterize the reason for holdovers if there is such a holdover request.
Ms. Weintraub.
And I just want to be clear that those reasons would be tagged to the commissioners who are articulating them. So right. It would be because, as you know, frequently we disagree on whether holds are warranted or not.
All right. Madam Vice Chair.
I move approval of agenda document number 17-53B with the amendment on section Roman 2B2J, add the language after requester, add and any pertinent information provided by the name of the person holding the matter over.
And also the inaction should be, the word inaction should be inaction on the second line up on page 2.
Yes,
that as well. Yes, that as well. Thank you.
Could I suggest a friendly amendment?
Commissioner Weintraub.
That might be simpler just to say, I've already forgotten what you said, but either by or from, I can't remember which preposition was being used, that or those requesters.
By those requesters?
That or those requesters, since it could be one or more. But,
well, it says the names of the requesters.
Or
this stays in. The names of the requesters is in already.
Whatever you want to do.
Okay. It probably would be simpler, but since I'm not completely following it, let's just keep it the way that we proposed it.
Okay. Are you ready to vote?
Yes.
We are. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Ayes have it unanimously. Thanks. Thanks for your support. I appreciate that. There's nothing left.
Wait. There's the meeting. The meeting date.
I haven't finished my sentence yet.
Election of officers for next year.
Let's have that.
Here, I can just move approval. I move approval of agenda document number 17-60-A, which are the meeting dates for the beginning of next year.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Ayes have it unanimously. Now, we will be back at 2:00. In the meantime, we can talk or not, as the case may be. But we'll give an answer on that audit or on that AO.
So we're going to come back into open session at 2:00.
Come back into open session at 2:00 with a handbag of something.